Turn to Mark's Gospel, and we're in chapter 11 this week. And Church Bibles, that's on page 1016. 1016. Just had one senior moment this morning already, and I'm just wondering how many more are going to come. Actually, I thought to myself in the second service it would be a great idea, I thought, to have five people helping out with communion. Cracking idea. Got the five people sorted out, absolutely came to serve, realized only got four of everything. So four plates, four trays, so that's why I was standing around looking, you know, loose end and all the rest of it. So must plan further ahead, but there we go. It's an age thing, I think. Mark chapter 11. Lot going on in this whole chapter. We're just going to look at a little section of it. And it's an interesting section. It's a challenging section. There's all sorts of writings out there about it, and it has to do with Jesus talking to a fig tree, actually, but all will become clear as we read this. So Mark 11, I'm going to read from verse 12 down to verse 25. So here we go. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing over in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. And then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. That's Mark's way of telling us that he's got this from a good source. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he wouldn't allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, Is it not written that my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you've made it a den of robbers. All this trading is going on in the court of the Gentiles, kind of the first outer court of the temple. And they're using this area for the sacrificial system, which is for the people who can only go a bit further into the temple. You've made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this. And they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. And in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed, it's withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered, "and I tell you the truth. If anyone says to the mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Kind of touches on what we've just done with that meeting and greeting and making sure our relationships with one another are right before we come before God. On this little subject of fig trees, for those of you who like doing these things and want to go and do a little bit more research, and for those listening to the recording, there's some passages in the Old Testament, there's a lot actually, that talk about fig trees, mainly in the prophets, but writers like Micah in chapter 7, where you find their words like this: "What misery is mine! I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard, but there is no cluster of grapes to eat. none of the early figs that I crave. Looking for fruit, and fruit is not there. Jeremiah 8, he says this, God speaking, when I would gather them, says the Lord, there are no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. Even the leaves are withered, and what I gave them has passed away from them. And there's lots of other stuff there just to whet your appetites about figs and what's going on here. So here we go. It's been good, I think, journeying through Mark. Are you enjoying Mark and all the different voices and comments and different perspectives on the chapters? I think it's been great having so many different people getting stuck into this. It's good. And great credit to all those people who have had a go at this as well. There's some good stuff. We've been journeying through Mark's gospel, Mark's record of Peter's first-hand accounts of Jesus. And we're learning that actually Mark's gospel is very, very carefully put together. It's been assembled very thoughtfully. And the sharp-eyed among you will also realize that we're a week ahead of ourselves, that this passage is usually used on Palm Sunday next week. But rather than the triumphal entry, I want to look briefly at this curious incident, not of the dog in the night, but the curious incident of Jesus cursing a fig tree. And it's the only time in the Gospels that we find recorded Jesus using his power in what you might think is a negative way rather than a positive way. All his other acts, actions, miracles, and all that kind of stuff are constructive and bring blessing. This one is a little bit odd and a little bit different. And then it's followed by some strong words from Jesus when he's in the temple. So it's worth us having a little look at. So we've got a fig tree. And we've got this money changer thing going on in the temple. Now, do you remember this? This goes back a few chapters when we had a little look at Mark's sandwiches. Yes, it's actually a Markan sandwich, but call it Mark's sandwiches if you want. It's this literary device, this technique, this way of writing, of putting a story within a story. And this is another one, this little episode that we're in now. The story of the fig tree is kind of the bread around the filling of Jesus obstructing the sacrificial activities of the temple when he overturns the tables of the money changers and disrupts the buying and selling of animals for sacrifice. Mark has put one story there to shed light on the other. In fact, this is what you might call a club sandwich. So we've got there the fig tree on either side and clearing the temple. But if you look a bit closely at the chapter, on either side there's another layer there as well. So call this one a club sandwich if you want. So Mark wraps another layer around the outside about Jesus, his identity and his authority. So at the beginning, it's his entering into Jerusalem as king, as Messiah, and everybody declaring, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there's something glorious going on there about Jesus' identity, a declaration of truth of who he is. And then right at the other end of the chapter, there's a bit of a debate going on with the chief priests asking serious questions about authority and who are you? By whose authority do you do these things? The whole chapter is constructed very, very carefully in layers, this sandwich thing. And so this incident with the fig tree is there to help us grasp the significance of Jesus' strong words that will follow in the temple. One story is designed to shed light on the other. Jesus looks for something on the tree. He looks for something and it's not there. Fruit is absent. And he then curses the tree, and a day or so later, the fig tree is discovered to have withered. There's an element of judgment going on. In writing this way, there's clearly a link between the fate of the barren fig tree and Jesus' actions in the temple. Okay so far? Okay, all right then, here we go. So, Jesus enters the temple. When he does that, when he arrives, we've just got to get our context right. We've got to get the big picture here. We've got to remind ourselves of who he is, what the temple represents, and this big Old Testament narrative that both the temple and Jesus are a part of. This is Messiah coming home to his people, coming home to his temple. And when Jesus disrupts the sacrificial system and gets rowdy with the money changers, this is not just a protest about the commercialization of religion or a comment about worship of money or extortion of the poor. It goes far, far deeper than that. Just as he passed judgment on the fig tree for lack of fruit, he now says strong words to Israel, because the arriving Messiah coming into his city, coming into his temple, coming to see his people, has not found in his own temple what he should rightly expect to find amongst his people. And he says this: my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. For all nations. But you have made it a den of robbers. If you look in the Old Testament, particularly at the prophets, writers like Isaiah and Jeremiah, both made it clear that if God's people continued to abuse the place and the privilege of the temple, abuse their relationship with God, take him for granted, we're okay, he called us, nothing can go wrong. If they carry on behaving like that, then God will come along and judge them. And that's what's going on here. God's house has become a den of robbers. A brigand's cave is another translation of this. This house of prayer for all nations, this place that's supposed to be a beacon, a light, somewhere that stands for God and attracts the rest of the world to God. All this great stuff going on, come and encounter God. This is what this worship system should be about. Supposed to point the world to God, have become instead a symbol of exclusion or exclusive separatism, aggressive almost in keeping some people out and not opening God up for everyone. Something's gone wrong. Something's gone wrong with the system, with the culture of faith and worship, and with the people who run it. And the fig tree represents Israel, which has failed to produce the appropriate fruits when her Messiah came and looked for them. And as we journey towards the cross at Easter, the whole sense of change and things being on a knife edge is emphasized in this passage. The Messiah's come. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Now, of course, we know the end of the story, don't we? Because we've read on and we've done Easter before. But that's what's kind of happening here. In the Old Testament, the fig tree, along with the vine, is used as an image for Israel, for God's people. The fig tree is an emblem of peace and prosperity, hope for the future, often written about and expressed in the Old Testament in terms of sitting under the vine, sitting under the fig tree, gathering the blessing of the fruit that they're providing, the shade that they're providing, and all that kind of good stuff. It's all out there in Micah and Zechariah and Haggai. And yet when Messiah comes, when Jesus comes to his city, the tree of Israel is without fruit, and judgment will inevitably follow. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, and yet you've made it into something else. And it kind of challenges us on the place of prayer in our own lives and in the life of the church. And what I want to do for the next 10 minutes or so is give you an opportunity to pray, actually. Give you some time just to pray. We've been through these Lent daily emails, we've had these meditations coming through, and we've been looking to Jesus and bringing to him various verses that have resonated with OBC over the years. Some verses from before my time, some more recently. And we've been bringing ourselves and our situation at OBC to God, acknowledging him, thanking him for what he's doing here, for all the good stuff that's going on. And for these last few minutes of our time together, I'd like us to spend some time praying. Now, we don't have to do this in a big, holy, quiet huddle. Actually, I quite like prayer when it's noisy, to be honest, and you're in groups and you're all doing whatever you do, praying for one another and for things going on. But I want to give you some guidance and some suggestions. We've put out round the boards, that's the royal we actually. Julie has put the boards out with some ideas on there about some of the stuff for us to consider at the moment. And three areas to signpost you to, give you some inspiration. First area in terms of space. Sundays in particular, we're struggling a bit and we're talking to God. We've got this thing going on that we'd like to have more space, whatever that means, a new building or whatever. But if you're a parent, you may have a particular concern for the effect that that's having on your children and children's ministry and all that kind of stuff. And it would be good to have more space, a better facility, whatever, for the children's work. Or maybe in terms of providing facilities for our community, maybe as a missions base, maybe as a resource for working with other charities in the town, whatever. But if that floats your boat and you want to get together with a couple of others and pray about space, that's fine. What about in terms of people? God has brought us so many new folks. Many of you are those new folks. He's given you gifts and abilities. Are we using you properly? Are you flourishing in the way that God wants you to? And again, I think we should be praying for one another about those sorts of things. We need trustees, senior leaders, staff, more ministers, whatever. Pray about these sorts of things. And finally, all the other stuff that kind of underpins the activities of church. We know all of us don't have enough money or time. That's how it is. But we could pray into these things. Manpower, staff, energy, courage, wisdom, to go out with what God is doing. So what I want you to do is we want to be the opposite of these words that Jesus is using in this passage. We want to be a house of prayer, don't we? We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be passionate about prayer. And the only way that's going to happen is if we give it a go and get more comfortable with it and break down our embarrassment and our resistance to these things. And I just encourage you now to use the next 10 minutes to start praying about some of these things or about other things that are on your mind. But let's pray for ourselves, for one another, for this church, for what God is doing among us and in this town. And seek his face. Yeah? Happy with that? Have you got energy for this? Okay. So a bit of movement. You can pray in small groups. You can pray on your own. You can pray in big groups with like-minded people. You can use these notice boards for inspiration. Have a read. Put some more thoughts up there. Pray about it. But let's have some movement and go out and do some praying. And I'll call us together in about 10 minutes' time. Off you go. Off you go. Thank you.